Wednesday night, we're back at it again. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and never heard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Married at First Sight Recap Podcast. And I'm so thankful that this week I got to drink to watch this show.
Well, you know, I'm going to join you today because after tonight's episode, you know, I've broken out the Basil Hayden's, but I just have a tough choice because the choice is not of what to drink. It's of how much to drink. So I've got the small glass and I've got the big glass. Which one should I go with?
Always go with the big glass. That's Basil Hayden. That's some good shit.
Yeah, true. I'm going with a small glass. I knew you would say the big glass.
I'm so glad that you graduated from Maker's Mark and Crown Royal and that you've embraced the Basil Hayden. I feel good to be a part of that journey in your life.
Yeah, we'll tell that story on a regular episode. So for those of you new to the show, by the way, thanks to everybody who's been subscribing. If you're just watching, hey, make sure you click the subscribe button too and join. But thanks to everybody. And for those of you new to the show, one of the things you'll notice is that Terrell is not really a big fan of reality TV, right? And how we got here recapping reality TV is because a long time ago he made a deal with the devil, said he'd never watched The Bachelor until they had a black bachelor. ABC says, hey, it's quarantine. Hold my beer. And introduced Matt James, so he was stuck watching the show. Me being the good friend that I am, I watched it with him. We recapped that one, right? And then I said, in return, you got to watch one of my shows. So Married at First Sight, that was a great one for him to do, especially after season 12. So season 13 came along. We watched it. Halfway through the season, I don't know what possessed him to do this, but he made another deal with the devil and said, if Gil and Merla make it, we'll do season 14. They made it.
Bullshit.
And now here we are.
Bullshit. They didn't make it. Don't sell that. They didn't make it. They made it to decision day. And then the next day, Merla was out and ghosted my man Gil. It's bullshit. Collusion. I've said it before. There's been collusion in this whole process.
All right, tell Trump.
Count the votes. Recount them. They weren't right. They had the bad machines, all kind of things was going on.
Well, I'll tell you what was right about today's episode is that finally Pastor Cal came back to the show because Jesus Christ, where you been? And we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, let's run down the first part of the episode with our wonderful couples. You want to start with Lindsay Lohan and Mark the Shark?
Yeah. So Lindsay Lohan, Mark the Shark. Last week when we talked about the episode, I said that I was really proud of Lindsay, like how she like stepped up. But watching the episode today made me wonder, did that demasculate Mark? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Mark's dealing with some stuff. And luckily Lindsay has, you know, she has money and whatever. She has a good career. So she's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just take care of it, which is great, which is what you want your partner to be able to do. But I feel like it might have backfired. I don't know. I don't know how you thought about that, but I feel like it might have backfired that where Mark is feeling like, holy shit, you're taking care of me. And technically, it should be the other way around. And so I thought that was a weird dynamic for them today.
I think it's somewhere in the midst of that, too. I mean, it definitely showed the caring side of her, and he saw that, which is good. But then the other part is, you know, her intent at all times is something that he was trying to adjust to. And then she tried to adjust that way, too. But she was only going to – we knew this was not going to last, okay, yeah. In that sense. We kind of knew that. And, of course, we'll address what happened when they sat down with Pastor Cal later on. But – the interesting thing to me was how she was just throwing all his shit out. Like she has no emotional connection to shit. She's right. Like, how does this make you feel? Throw it out. You know, it's literally, she was like, if it's not closed, toss that shit. And that's basically what she was saying to all his stuff. And then you get to her house and she's almost a minimalist, right? She's one of these, I had no idea. And I really had no idea that bottles of champagne just sprung from the earth. And that's why she drinks so much of it. Because she's this, well, if it's plastic, we're going to get rid of it because it's bad for the environment. True, but still, you know. So it was interesting to learn more about her because she's a lot deeper than I thought. But still doesn't excuse all the other shit that she does.
But she threw me off with naming all the plants. And I would just, honestly, in a dating world, if a woman brought me back to her place for the first time and she says, hey, let me introduce you to my plants. This is Michael. This is Donovan. This is Donatello. This is Lindsay, named after me. That's some weird shit. And so
people
like,
talk to their plants all the time, B.
I get it. I totally get it. But I think for Mark, he was just like, what the hell? And I mean, and I judge Mark a little bit because I'm like, dude, you have like a few cats and you're a single dude. Yeah. So who are you to judge somebody? But that was a bit much. When I saw that, I was just like, it's not so much who does that. I get it. But this is weird. It's just weird.
Well, Lindsay's weird, so that's why it even seems even weirder. But yeah, I agree. I'd give the side eye too, but as scared as he is to talk to her, he should be careful what he says. And like, this is just Sarah Lindsay. This apartment is just Sarah Lindsay. You know, when Katina and Olajuwon, especially when they went to his house, Olajuwon, to me, is just so damn annoying, man. He's so annoying with his get your ass in the kitchen attitude. And when they got to the house, he's like, I don't know which, whether it's Olajuwon that's doing it or is it Isaac that's irritating me. Either one of them. Because he's like, can you imagine it? Because, you know, we're part of that life now. We're in that part of our life now. And, you know, us, we're walking up holding hands and our kids are there coming out. Hey, mommy. Hey, daddy. He's trying to convince her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what it makes it seem like. But I really think he's trying to convince himself.
Yes. Yes. So with that whole deal, I feel like, why are you trying to sell her on you? Yeah. She's not going to like your house. Because that makes sense, right?
So she's a woman. She's not going to like any bachelor's house.
Well, exactly. Here's the deal. I'm watching this as a single man. And keep in mind, my house looks nothing like these people. Like these frat-tastic people that have these weird houses with the LED lights and all this shit around it. I'm like, it's weird. I don't have any of that. But I do get that if I got married and somebody moved into my house, they're going to want to make some changes. And the fact that they want to make changes doesn't mean that all the changes have to happen in March. It's just like long-term changes. And so Olajuwon just seems so disconnected to that. And I'm just like, who has a freaking green workout room? And I agree with, what's your name, with Katina, with the curtains. Like, why would you have that? Even if your coffee is the bomb.
Because I make the best coffee in the world.
It just looks stupid. But I feel like that Olajuwon is expecting that he's going to get married. And because he has this ideal of what marriage is like, is that she's going to move into his house and love all his shit and be a part of everything that he has, not factoring in what she wants and what she wants it to look like. And so I think that's a conversation they have to have. But I just thought that was odd. I'm like, why would you think that? She's just going to love everything about your house and not want to change anything. If you're expecting her to move into your house, I thought that was just weird.
Almost as weird as him seeking validation. Mm-hmm. So do you like the workout room? It's a walk-in closet. Okay, first of all. But do you like it? Because the color, so obviously he had just painted it, you know, with his shirt off. So he was obviously proud of it. So that's what it was, you know. But since you brought up the LED lights, Noy and Steve, I will say this. Before we even get to the LED lights, Steve is being very diplomatic because this whole dog sleeping in the bed, got to sleep in the bed with us, deal breaker. If my wife said the dog has to sleep in the bed with us, we would have some problems. Mm. Plain and simple.
I disagree with you there because I think
if you fell in love with somebody, so go ahead.
I would totally kiss the dog in the mouth because dogs are cute. But if you fell in love with a woman and this is your person, this is who you feel is your person. But to be with this person, you got to be okay with the dog sleeping in the bed. You let that go. It's a dog.
No.
I've been in relationships where pets slept in the bed. It's not that big a deal. You know, it's not that big a deal. But the way that Steve portrayed himself today, I'm like, dude, you're really looking out like a little bitch right now.
Wait a minute. Tell me about this threesome you, the girl, and the dog had.
No, there's no threesome. I'm just saying this. Some people, they love their pets that much that their dog sleeps in the bed. Totally get it.
Mm-mm.
And if I love the dog and I like the dog, totally, I'm down. And so I get how Noe was like, well, if my dog doesn't like Steve, this is going to be a problem. I get it. I think that's a bit much, you know, on her side. But I get it, right? I come across some people that have dogs. I mean, it's a thing. And you got to be okay with that. He is really anti-dog. And I'm like, dude, you need to dial that back a little bit. If if you want this to work, you're going to have to make some adjustments.
He's not that anti-dog. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because when she's like, would you like to hold? And he, I would have been like, nah, not really. But he was like, sure. And it,
but he did that
to have
for
the
her.
Dog sleeping in the bed. Huh? Yeah, he did it for her. Exactly. But that's the thing. And just like somebody who commented in last week's episode, there are things you're going to have to do, Terrell, when you're in a relationship that you don't like. Now, having a dog sleep in the bed is not one of them. That, because I'm a Caribbean man. Dogs actually belong outside. I understand in the States it's a little different because you actually have four seasons. Back home, you don't. You got one. It's all year. Okay. but the difference is dogs don't belong in the bed. I don't even want the dog climbing on the bed.
The dog
much
could
less
be in the bed. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Nasty bastards.
It's not that big a deal. Because here's what happens is if, and I don't know if this is where Steve's mindset is at, but one thing I do know from dating people that have dogs that sleep in the bed, if you're having an intimate moment, the dog gets off the bed and goes, does this thing. And then once he realizes y'all are done, the dog jumps back onto the bed and goes to sleep. It's not that big a deal.
I don't want the dog on the bed, period.
It's not that big a deal.
This is where I think Steve falls into that same category with me, because he's like, all right, because she made it a point. She didn't even ask. She was just like, the dog is sleeping in the bed with us. She made a statement in that, right? Like, this has happened. It's definitive, which we would have had a different discussion if it was me. But then I thought the whole thing with the LED lights. Yeah, he likes his LED lights, but he's like, all right, the dog is sleeping in the bed with us. We're eating, sleeping, showering, shitting with LED lights everywhere in the house.
The whole LED lights petty thing, I was like, dude, Steve, what's your deal? Like, what is your deal with this whole light thing? Revenge. Like, why are you so excited about it? She's right, and he's too old to be this frat-tastic kind of person. And
yes,
it just blew my mind that I'm like, why do you live like this? And why do you think this is okay? It just threw me. Now, I get it. You know, you got, it's Boston. And so not everybody can afford their own home. They might have an apartment. But LED lights around your living room, bedroom, and kitchen that you can adjust with a remote control, some problems.
It's a bit much. Yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
But I respect the level of petty because he knew she didn't like it. And so he just kept going on and on about it and was like, you know, we can either take all these out and take them into the apartment, or we just get all new lights for the apartment and put them in every room.
Why would you?
That was a level of petty based on her saying the dog is sleeping in the bed.
But why would you? It's like, do, 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 do. That's your life. No. Stupid. Like, you're an adult. Olajuwon doesn't have lights. So if you watch After Party, which I did watch After Party 2 weeks ago, and to understand more about Olajuwon doesn't have that shit in his house. And Steve said that he admires Olajuwon, looks up to him. Why would you not look up to an adult who doesn't have these fucking LED lights all over the house? It's crazy.
Yeah. As we move on to Jasmina, Michael, I do agree with Michael. And this is going to be very quick, obviously, because there's a lot of shit I don't agree with Michael on. But when he was telling Jasmina, like, no, you don't, we need to stay, you need to stay in this house. Don't run away. You can't just run away because that's not how you're supposed to do it in a marriage. I totally agree with him because it's the same thing that Johnny did last season. And I chastised Johnny for that last season. And I'm going to do it to Jasmina in this one. You can't run away. And then she told him one thing, but the real reason, which we all knew, was to get away from him anyway.
Well, Michael was wrong. So if you live with two female roommates, say that.
Yes.
And he had way too many opportunities to do so.
It never then came up.
Yeah, he seems shady. There's something about Michael. Like, Michael yes turned me off this episode. I was like, what is your deal, dude? Like, I've been trying mm-hmm to support you, but I can't
told
now
you.
There's something about him you that's off. But the fact mm-hmm that he just thought it was okay to not say that I have two female roommates. Like, why wouldn't you? You're in a safe space.
Here's the thing about it. He's grown up around women. So he should know the women's intuition. Because yes, you know that she was like, how many roommates do you have? Just by seeing one or two items in the house. She automatically asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
How many? And then, so many opportunities he had to actually say. And I never understood why he just wouldn't. Why would you lie about a roommate, right? She literally asked, have you ever lived with a woman before? No. I actually live with two.
Exactly.
Every time to say it.
Exactly.
At wedding night. Hey, see that guy over there? That's one of my best friends. He's my roommate. Oh, that's just crazy. I live with a woman. I'm actually, matter of fact, I live with two women right now. Boom.
Yeah. No, they're not going to work out because there's something shady about Michael that came out today. I was a Michael fan. If you recall last week, I was yeah, a Michael fan. But after watching today, I'm like, there's something about you that's off. And you're not willing to be honest about it. So,
at all.
I'm out.
And then he got so defensive about being called out on
totally.
The shit. And he refused to apologize. You're wrong. Apologize. All you did was justify the why she doesn't trust you.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Jasmina has her issues, too, because I think she can't forgive and let go. But
no.
She's right in love what she said. But Michael is just on a whole total different plane. I'm like, dude, this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like you created this. You did this.
This is all him.
Yeah.
Our favorite couple, Alyssa and Chris. You know, the fact that Alyssa has never said to Chris why she was acting like this 2-year-old as she is, throwing a tantrum, confirms what we already knew about her, right? I mean, we knew. So she never told him why or anything again. And you know, her telling her mom what's wrong with Chris, and basically she was just describing what he needs to do. She's describing her, like what's wrong with her and what she needs to do.
Yeah. There's nothing that Alyssa has shown that says that she's a good person. And the fact that when her mom was talking to her, like, hey, I met him, I think he's a good kid. I think he's great for you. She still can't connect any dots to that.
At all.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you just haven't been there the whole time. And her mom is like, you know, I know you, right? It's pretty much the look her mom was giving it was that. But and I thought, so here's the interesting thing, because you and I almost had this exact reaction. Chris's friend, Nick, I thought that his reaction to Chris telling him about the psychic, he was literally you or me. If either one of us were to say, hey, so this girl I'm dating said her psychic, you're like, stop.
Yes. 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 I totally would have done that to you.
I will say the good thing about the highlight about this this episode had to be Pastor Troy's visits. And oh, you know, he's Pastor Cal, but we love to call him Pastor Troy here. When he sat down with Jasmina and Michael, I liked his solution that he had for them, and I thought it showed why he was missing on the honeymoon. He needs to go on the honeymoon with these couples.
What he presented to not only them but everybody, it was so for a guy that's single. It was very mind-blowing, and it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is such a good advice that he's giving. And so when he met with Michael and Jasmina, and trying to explain to Michael like why Jasmina feels attacked when he says stuff. Because I really don't think that Michael yells at her. I just think that she receives it as, you're talking to me like you're less than. And I was like, that is so amazing. That's such great dialogue. So I thought that was good. And then when Pastor Cal was talking to Noe and Steve, I thought he just gave really great advice. Like every couple this week or every couple tonight, I think Pastor Cal gave really great advice too.
One of the things with as we moved to Noe and Steve is like, you know, first of all, her thing with the three kids, it feels more like superstition than anything else. And she's just, again, the thing about Noi that would annoy me is that, and no pun intended, is the fact that she makes a point and she's stuck on it. And that's it, right? The dog is sleeping in the bed. That's it. Three kids. That's it. And then when Pastor Cal said to her, hey, talk to him. Tell Steve these things. What did she do? She looked dead at Pastor Cal and told him all the things still. And just like, I'm not talking to this man.
Well, you're 100% right. And I think that what she said to Steve around the number of children they want.
Mm-hmm.
Steve has a valid point. I can't fault her because she's like me. She's a hopeless romantic. And her mindset is that we're going to get married and we're going to have three kids. But what Steve is saying is very valid. So I just don't know.
You're caught between a rock and a hard place in this one. Because you like the fact that she knows what she wants. She wants three kids.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you're like, yeah, but.
Yes, exactly.
Katina and Olajuwon, when they sat down with Pastor Cal, I felt that Pastor Cal was saying exactly what I was thinking watching last week's episode. I felt the same way watching him on horseback. Like, I don't like the way he's talking to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he called him out on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of got me with them was, and I really questioned it, were they intimate or not? Because when they were asked the question, it seemed like they didn't want to answer. And then all of a sudden, Olajuwon's like, oh, yeah, it was his decision not to be intimate with her. And I almost feel like that was the story they came up with together to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And now we may find out something different on the after party, but at the same time, it just didn't seem realistic because he was talking about sex from the get-go. When Lindsay and Mark sat down with Pastor Cal, this was interesting because Mark showed a sensitive side, you know, and Mark the goldfish instead of Mark the shark. But were you surprised by Lindsay's response?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't surprised at all.
Now, of course, our favorite couple sat down for the last time with Pastor Cal, first and last time. Alyssa's such a liar, man. And even Pastor Cal was not buying her bullshit.
No, she's totally a liar. And she had no intent of staying in the situation. I think that whole interaction was crazy because I felt like Alyssa was trying to still be Alyssa and try to say mm-hmm. that she's a good person and all this other stuff. It's like, girl, you don't realize you made yourself look bad. Mm-hmm. And I applaud Chris that he finally said, hey, fuck this, I'm out. Yes.
But I worked so hard. I tried so hard to get to this point.
And I'm a good person.
And then drop the WWTs when Chris finally said, I want a divorce. Like, this was his decision day. I get it. We feel you. We were praying that you were going to do this, and you did. Thank you, Chris. But then the fact that she decided to cry mm-hmm. about it. Like, wait a minute. Next week's episode looks like it's going to be really interesting, too, because, you know, we got a lot of blow-ups going on. I think every couple's going to have some issues. I saw some stuff this week that made me not like Noi, and I think next week's going to show even more because it looks like her walking around ignoring him, that pet peeve of mine, by the way. But yeah, this looks like it's going to be a good episode, so definitely looking forward to that. Don't forget, Monday we drop our regular episodes, audio, and then on Tuesday we drop the video episodes. And of course on Wednesday, right back here for Married at First Sight Season 14 Recaps, Boston.
Yeah, and I hate this show. I want everybody to know that I hate watching this. This is not something I enjoy.
They don't believe you.
They don't, but I'm just like, no, I hate it. I really hate it. But definitely, when you watch the show, like, subscribe, leave a comment.
And don't forget, you know, rate and leave a review as well, too. Definitely got some good ones on some of the other, on the actual podcast platform. So if you're just listening to it, make sure you rate and leave a review. I'm Yanni Root.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit of the articles you find on the internet, and we'll talk about them on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.